And we're back.
Bear with us, girl.
Bear with us, girl. I always put like a Scooby-Doo in it.
Oh, yeah. You have to roll it.
Girl. Well, welcome. Today we're talking about fear.
Which is my greatest fear, talking about fears.
Well, that's a great point. Sometimes people's greatest fear is talking about fear.
I mean, I also used to have a huge, I still do, fear of speaking in public.
Really? Like, wait, before you speak and talk about speaking in public, why don't you speak our names?
All right, I'm going to speak on it, girl. I am Teddy Bear.
I'm Scott Frenzel. And this is Bear With Us, Girl. Bear. All right, let's dive in deep to fear. You have a fear of public speaking?
I mean, I think every human being does, but like mine was so severe when I was a kid, especially in like middle school. I was always that guy. If you had to read something from the class, I'd be shaking.
Like, yeah.
And paper would shake.
Yeah. But fear of public speaking. Little teddy bear has a slicked back gelled hair, his pleather jacket.
And I remember always being so terrified. And the thing is, like, when you would get, once you realize you're shaking and getting nervous, then it gets even more. And then I'm one of those people too. I used to, if I get nervous, I would start to cry.
Yeah.
Where I'm not sad, but like my eyes just would.
Sure.
And it was just.
Out of desperation and fear.
Everything just expelling from my body. And then
I was a little pageant queen. Like, I was like, can I go to the front of the class now?
you love speaking in front of the class.
I like attention. And so then, you know, attention. Mm-hmm. You're standing in the front of the classroom. You get a little attention. It's like a drug to me.
I think I always liked, like, quiet attention. Like, that's why I like to draw.
Yeah.
And get the attention of, oh, I love your drawing. But it was never like, let's talk with you.
Well, that's an interesting, like, we kind of touched on it in last week's episode, the relationship episode, mm-hmm. but enjoying praise for different things and not always like you don't like praise for this personal thing, but you do like praise when it's something you put a lot of hard work into.
And you loved praise when it's a class project.
I pretty much love praise whenever, except for when it's about like really personal stuff. Then I'm like, get away from me.
No, but I'm saying like you never got nervous speaking.
No, I would get nervous speaking. I would get nervous too in high school when we did the school plays. I would get so nervous beforehand. Oh
my God. I still to this day have nightmares. It's actually a recurring nightmare about my high school musical.
Yeah.
To this, I don't know why. Like, I actually
were you in your high school musical?
Yeah, I did it.
Like, what did and what year. Musical was it?
We did Guys and Dolls. We did.
Oh, so you did it every year?
Yeah, Guys and Dolls, and then how to Get Away with Murder.
Viola Davis came and we did How to Go with Murder. You know who I'm obsessed with is Jack Fallahy. I had a big crush on him.
That is.
The gay boy in that show. The actor that plays him. In How to Get Away with Murder. You never watched it?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, he's... Google it. Anyway.
Well, do you know he's gay?
No, I think he's straight. The actor's straight.
Oh, the character's gay.
Yeah. Okay, so you did Guys and Dolls. What else?
Guys and Dolls. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Oh, okay.
And then one year... She managed to like raise enough money and I think use her own personal money to get the rights to do Into the Woods.
Wow, that's cool. And who were you in these? Like tree number three? Were you a bear? Were you ever a bear?
No.
Because that would be
iconic.
On brand.
No, for Guys and Dolls, I was Big Julie or something.
Okay.
Pretty much any part that like required a guy to have a bass voice.
Sure.
I would.
Yeah. You don't sing in a tenor?
No.
What if you popped out?
No,
what
falsetto.
If you had this really deep voice and then all of a sudden you pop, you're like, kiss me. Da, 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 da. It'd be funny. Well, I did Grease. I did Wizard of Oz. We did Cats. I have a special place in my heart for Cats.
What were you in Cats?
I was Gus.
You were Taylor Swift.
No, Taylor Swift isn't in the original. Well, like, there's no, like, her cat isn't a character. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Her cat is a character, but the song she wrote isn't in, obviously, because she wrote the song. It's not in the original. It's a cute song, though. But anyway, I was Gus the theater cat, so I forget who played him in the movie. Did you see the movie?
No, but I saw all the flack James Corbin got.
People really don't like him.
Oh, wait, no, that wasn't for Cats. That was for him in Prom.
Prom.
Well, because he also... I think people were more annoyed of him doing, and I'm annoyed by it, the whole shtick of a straight guy whose joke is like, oh, I'm kind of like gay acting, isn't that kind of funny?
Like I painted my nails.
Yeah, and he's like, oh my God, that's so crazy.
It's interesting because I don't think that we as gay people should hoard flamboyance. You know, I think it's okay for a straight guy to be flamboyant.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the line that you start to toe is, are you doing it in like a way that's kind of poking fun?
Exactly.
And then it's kind of like, and I think that's probably where a lot of people had an issue in prom.
Exactly. Like, it's not about like, if you're a flamboyant straight guy, that's completely great. Like, Stanley Tucci.
Mm-hmm.
He's straight, correct?
I don't know. Oh. I actually don't know who
that is. Right, yeah. I could be completely wrong. This message is going nowhere.
Yeah.
But like, that's another example where that's perfectly fine. It's just mm-hmm. James Corbin does it as more of like a, oh, isn't so funny. I'm this like big, loud guy who's acting flamboyant, but I'm not gay, but like, that's the joke.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I assumed he was gay for a long time, and then I was like, oh, he has a wife? Huh.
And I've also heard from a lot of people that, like, once that came out, that he's basically the Ellen of the UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like,
to work with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, you know, being on Ground Zero here in LA and not too far from Ellen's studio, I have heard some stories. So when that broke, I was not surprised at all.
What did you hear? Like, what were your stories?
Just the same kind of things that she was a nightmare to work with. Like, you weren't allowed to talk to her on set. Like, if you worked
for
her.
No eye contact.
Yeah. Like, all this crazy stuff. I just don't get it. It costs $0 to be kind. But that's actors. I don't know how many.
Well, I think the more awkward part was, like, her message is literally
be kind. Very hypocritical. Yeah, her whole branding was that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she was afraid to lose it all?
And that was her fear? No, I mean, actually, so oddly, back to the Ellen thing,
mm-hmm.
as much as, like, she's a nightmare, it's known in LA that she's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I'm not okay.
It's an open secret.
And I'm not okay with that. But from what people have said about why she became that, I get why she did.
Well, I haven't heard this villain backstory.
Honestly, it's a villain backstory that makes you like, I slightly get it.
Yeah.
So she became like that, so very cold, disconnected, and only like emotionless business person.
Mm-hmm.
After she came out and basically she lost her whole entire career.
Yeah.
Every single person turned on her so that when she finally had her career come back,
mm-hmm.
it created this complete separation as a way for her to protect herself from ever getting hurt again.
Yeah.
And so, like, as evil as it's known that she is, I do still have a little bit of sympathy left where I'm like, it's sad because maybe had the world not been homophobic,
yeah,
you would have never become like this, and you actually would be the message that you're trying to put on TV.
Yeah.
Which is why it makes sense. Her message is be kind. Because I bet in her heart she wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
But she just...
But she's been burned.
Just not, yeah, so she's just not a kind of person.
That's a lesson I learned from listening to a big love of both Teddy and mine is Alanis Morissette. And she has a song where she says, "You will learn to lose everything. We're temporary arrangements." Mm-hmm. And that spoke a lot to me because I think that your joy and your peace, you have to find somewhere that comes from within, because when you attach your joy and your self-worth to external things, whether it's a job, whether it's the car you drive, whether that kind of stuff, all of that can be gone in a second. You know, you can get fired, your car can be totaled, all these things can disappear so easily. But if your happiness comes from your core, no one can take that from you. That's intrinsic.
And by core, you mean your abs.
Your abs. When you're working your core, you got to work your core when you're working your core. that's why you do ab exercises. You know that, right?
It's just your emotional core.
Your emotional core.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
I like it hardcore.
That's a lot of wisdom from me today. So that's it for the year. But that's how I feel. I don't know. Do you agree or do you disagree?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be sad if I had to, like, I like my car. If I had to ride a bike all of a sudden or walk everywhere, I'd be upset. But I guess I'd get over it.
So what are some of your fears?
Well, here's the thing. As I have kind of spoken to before on this podcast.
I swear if you just say I have no fears.
No. I'm a jitterbug. Like, first of all, there's always at least a couple coffees pumping through my veins. So I would be, look at me right now. I'd be horrible at surgery.
Oh, no, I have the same thing. It's called, it's actually genetic.
It is?
It's called benign tremors.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Because back to the kid story.
For the viewers, my hands shake a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm 25. There's no reason they need to be shaking so much. So,
like, I've even quit. Like, I don't drink caffeine
mm-hmm.
to try and...
To combat it.
It doesn't do anything. It's genetic.
Really?
Which is also, it's crazy that I can draw.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's so...
Well, I was talking to this wonderful makeup artist the other day, and I was like, I can't hold... I could never do makeup. I can't do a straight line. She's like, it's a lot of how you breathe.
Yes.
Which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you found that to be true as well.
Oh, yeah. Like, especially if it, like, especially since my hands naturally shake,
mm-hmm.
if it's getting to a point where I know I'm going to have to do something like a straight line or like a, even harder, a perfect circle.
Yeah. Oh.
I always make sure to stop, let out a breath, and then breathe through it.
Yeah.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Same with bottoming.
You got to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you hold your breath,
just breathe.
It's over. You're going to clench up.
We hear the Hilary Duff song, Breathe In, Breathe Out, is about bottoming.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
She really held a lot of subliminal things in those songs. Because if the light is off, it isn't on, that's about the clit, as we talked about in our first episode. Yeah, you're right. Wow, we have such canon here. Please don't come for us, Hilary.
Such folklore.
I think we've brought up Taylor Swift in every episode.
I think so, too.
And we're not stopping now.
Unless we get sponsored by her.
So I'm afraid of everything. Like, I'm a jitterbug. I can't watch horror movies. If I watch a horror movie...
How much can you not watch a horror movie? Like, I have a friend who I accidentally invited him to a horror movie. He didn't know.
Uh-huh.
He thought it was, like, a fantasy movie. He, shaking, grabbing the arm the whole time, like, traumatized, cannot watch horror.
I don't have, like, those body reactions, but internally, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, But the problem is I'm fascinated by horror movies and I'm fascinated by the lore of horror movies. I like to read the synopsis on Wikipedia, but like seeing it all play out it doesn't go well. I won't be able to sleep. Like I'll have like little, not panic attacks, because I've had panic attacks and it's very different.
It's different than
but they're like baby ones that I'm like.
Just like little chicken nugget.
Yeah, a little chicken. Yeah, it's not the whole chicken, just a little chicken nugget of panic.
Just a little peep.
I'm like, I can't turn the lights. I can't sleep with the lights off. But I'm into true crime recently.
So here's weird. I oddly find like true crime docs and like serial killer ones so relaxing.
Relaxing?
Like I've run out of so many because I watch so many on Netflix. And every time I do, I'll start to like get ready for bed because it literally is the same as a bubble bath to me.
No, I think that means you're a psychopath. I think we cracked the code here. That's crazy. How does that relax you?
It is the most soothing. It's literally ASMR bloodshed.
I hate that. No. I started watching the BuzzFeed Unsolved, and I got addicted.
Okay,
but it's that one especially out. It's really cute the way they do it. But anyway, I don't want to give people a promo that I don't know.
What's the last documentary you watched about, like, murder?
Would you count McMillions?
It's not murder. Nobody died.
Well, yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah, they did.
You need to watch it, I guess.
I did watch it.
Oh, you did?
And every time I watched every episode, I made sure it had McDonald's.
I didn't really like that. I feel like it really only needed to be four episodes.
They milked it for all it's worth.
They milked it.
Yeah.
And not the kind I like.
Mm-hmm. They milked it almost as much as that ice cream machine.
What?
The McDonald's ice cream machine.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was talking about like this kind of milking.
Oh, no. We're not going there.
We're not going there.
That's not a fear.
Is it?
What?
You know, I have really looked back on my life and I've been like, I was doing some really risky business. When I hear these stories about like these psychopaths.
Oh, wait. So I do have a sexual fear. And to this day, I have never used a glory hole because I have a fear that if I were to do it and put my dick on through it.
Yeah.
There's a guy on the other side of like a saw or a chainsaw.
Could you imagine?
And that's all in my head that, like, you put your dick through there and somebody would just chop it off.
Or, like, how they have to shave your teeth before you put veneers in? What if they had that?
They put veneers on my dick?
No. They didn't have the veneers in, so it was, like, the little teeth.
Ooh.
Oh, think of all the things that could go wrong.
Okay, well.
This is the panic episode.
Yeah.
This is just me spiraling live on.
Apparently, that's where your mind goes too easily.
Yeah. I'm a very creative person. And then that's the dark side of creativity is like
our anxiety we can make up.
Yeah, you know, I never made that connection, but I really think that, you know, I know a lot of creatives that have suffered with anxiety and I kind of just thought y'all are just dramatic. But now I'm kind of realizing I think it's the dark side of it because your mind can create such imaginative things that it does it in a positive, funny, you know, art, whatever kind of way, but then it can also do it in like a think of all these horrible things that could happen to you kind of way. I never connected that, but I kind of like it. Have you ever taken antidepressants? This is going somewhere, I promise.
This is not where I wanted the podcast to go.
Okay, well, I'll share with the viewers that I have.
I have too, but what the fuck are we talking
about?
Well,
I was going to say it really dampened me, I felt, when I was on antidepressants.
Oh, like you weren't afraid of anything?
No, I felt like it had like, it kind of put a blanket over my personality and my thought process. So it like, I didn't like it. I got off them as soon as I could.
Oh, see, they just made me even more anxious.
Yeah.
Like mine made me so, like my anxiety and fears all went through the roof.
Really?
But like, they're like, well, but you're not depressed. I'm like, yeah, but like, I'm terrified
but
of everything.
But on the bright side, you're not depressed anymore. So what are you complaining about? No, I find natural remedies for anxiety to be, that makes it sound like I smoke a hella weed. Weed makes me anxious.
Yeah, I can't smoke either.
We live in California. It's illegal here. So meditation's really the best way I've found.
But have you ever found yourself getting anxious during meditation?
Yeah, definitely.
It's the worst. Like, so like, I always meditate, but I always love to try like new ones. And I'll find myself where if I pick up one where if I hate their voice, I'll get like annoyed. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to, you breathe through it, like not blah, 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 not yeah. judge it. And that halfway through, I'll be like, I hate your voice.
Yeah.
There is nothing soothing about you. I do not want to meditate.
There's nothing soothing about this at all. I have my therapist in college. She put me onto these tapes by, I'm really promoting everyone and their mother today. Her name's Belle Ruth Knapersack. And she, I just.
Bella Goth?
Bella Goth? Bella Thorne?
No, Bella Goth from The Sims.
The Sims?
You don't know who Bella Goth is in The Sims?
No.
I thought you played that game.
I played Sims 2 for GameCube, as you may have heard in the video games episode.
Bella Goth is the most iconic character from The Sims.
Really?
You should know that.
Wow, what video game lore I missed out on. Okay, I'll look it up. Yeah, no, I like those. And I think when I, because I've heard them so many times now, and when I hear it, I'm instantly relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Works for me. Do you have any, like, non-anxiety related fears? Like, do you like scary movies?
Kind of.
Okay, and we're done here today. Great, perfect.
I don't really have, like, many fears. I mean, I guess I'm afraid of heights.
Okay.
But I think most of my fears are...
Would you ever skydive?
Yeah, because, I mean, I like... Anything that I'm usually a little bit afraid of, I like to also make myself challenge it sometimes.
Yeah.
Because usually that's a sign if you're afraid of something, you should try it.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, that's really, like, I don't really have many irrational fears. I'm not afraid of, like, clowns or things like this that...
My boyfriend's afraid of mascots. Like, he freaks out.
Is this something he wants to be public about?
I don't care. No, he made a TikTok about it, so it's fine.
Okay, then it's legal.
Then it's legal. Then it's out there. Yeah, he's afraid of mascots. And then kind of, you know, furries kind
I was gonna of say, I was like, he has to be afraid
lend
of
themselves
furries,
to that, too. Have you ever, like, interacted with a furry?
Yeah,
like while in a fursona?
Not in person, but okay. I have a lot of fans that are furries.
So I love the furry community. I do want to preface this. I love anybody embracing things that they're into, that, you know, especially if they're a little off. I think it's cooler. You know, everyone's a defeat. But putting on a whole fursona, that's cool. So anyway, my first time ever experiencing the furry community, I was on a family cruise in Florida. So it was like my uncle, my aunt, my other aunt, my grandpa came down, my grandpa, who was probably like 83 at the time, my mom, my brother. So we were in this hotel in Florida. We all met there the night before the cruise, and they were hosting a furry convention at the hotel. And so we walk in and we're in the lobby, and I see like this fox person, this fox outfit.
Wait, how old are you?
I was a senior in high school. So I was like 18.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, That's cool. And then I saw another one and I was like, oh my God, I didn't know that the Marriott had a mascot. That's so cute. So then I started to like be like, I saw a couple more. I was like, are they doing a mascot convention here? What's going on? This is so crazy. And then we asked someone and they're like, no, it's a furry convention. I was like, what is that? My grandpa was obsessed. He thought it was hilarious. We took pictures. He's like, can you email me those pictures?
Oh,
it was fun. It was harmless. And then, you know, we walked by the door and there was a rager, like in this one hotel room, there was like clearly a furry rager going on in it. But I thought it was cool.
Well, rager that turns into an orgy later.
I know. Well, a lot of the suits have zips.
Yeah.
Too. They're expensive. The suits.
They're like thousands.
I know. Can you imagine?
I mean, think. I mean, you have to put a lot of work to make that suit.
I know. It's a lot of construction. I mean, I spent $150 on my harness, so.
Add fur.
Add fur. That's pretty much it. I'll be like a Wonder Woman warrior.
Oh, like Chitara?
No, what's the land they're from? Did you see that?
Did you see that movie?
Mm-hmm. I liked it. Did you like it?
You did?
It was a little long. You didn't like it?
You didn't think the CGI was a little...
I like Kristen Wiig.
I love her, but like the CGI was like done in a basement.
Oh, I didn't have my glasses on. Oh.
That's why.
That's always my excuse.
It looks so good and realistic. Because you can't see the TV.
That's always my excuse. Now it was my mom's house. She's got a big TV. I was also playing Animal Crossing while I was watching it.
Oh my God.
So I was like half watching it. But I got a lot done on my town that day.
How is your town doing?
My town's great. Yeah. I'm kind of bored.
Thank you. I'm glad you caught on.
Because I was very excited about the winter update. And then I got all the frozen items. And now I'm like, what is there to do?
There's nothing to do in that game.
Now I'm trying to get best friendship so I get a picture of like my favorite villagers.
How do you even have friendships with them?
You talk to them every day. You give them gifts.
But they don't talk.
Sometimes it makes me sad to realize that they're just code. Like when I'm like, I love Cookie. She's so funny. And then I'm like, yeah, she was programmed that way.
I've had those moments in video games before. You have like get sad where you're like, nothing in here is real.
Yeah. If you could plug into the Matrix, would you do it?
I mean, there's the theory that we're already in it.
That we already made that decision?
Yeah.
That scares me. Oh, that's... Well, my anxiety... I didn't even mean for this to be like a mental illness episode, but here I am. My anxiety manifests itself often in existential crises.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes if I read too much about like, oh, we're all in a simulation. I'm like, I gotta close this Wikipedia page. This is a little too much for me.
So what the theory is basically like scientists talked about it and they said for us to prove that theory that we're not in a simulation is either not true or true, we have to then try and be able to create another simulation that can run the equivalent of every single person happening, everything happening all at once. The equivalent of if we can create another simulation of human existence, that proves we are not in a simulation.
Wow.
Because the reason is because you would not be able to run a simulation within a simulation.
Okay.
It wouldn't be, like they said, like they basically were able to show that is one thing they can prove that would not be possible.
Okay.
But if we never can do that,
yeah,
then that shows that actually we could be in a simulation.
My biggest thing what makes me question is aliens. You would just think that would have like happened by now.
What do you mean?
Like I just feel like life on a planet isn't that rare.
You do know how many planets there are.
Well, exactly. So like how has it not happened anywhere else?
Well, it most likely has.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is why haven't we made any contact?
We supposedly have. Many times.
Oh, I don't read any of the like conspiracy articles.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
But no, I love ones like aliens. Don't quote me thinking I'm like a QAnon.
No.
I don't want that to go.
No, like a harmless one. Like, well, I don't know if it's harmless, but like a, you know.
Alien ones are harmless.
It's harmless.
Yeah, nobody's gonna get hurt. Like I'm not going storming the Capitol being like aliens.
You're not going to ping pong pizza. Like they're hoarding aliens in this basement.
Yeah.
And Hillary Clinton's there too. Yeah, none of that. Do you get nervous before you film content?
This is where you transition from aliens?
Yep. I've decided to change topics.
I sometimes do when it's like somebody who I consider a big star or somebody that I'm like, you know, nervously attracted to.
Yeah.
But I would say every single time it's always ended up being all the nerves were just in my head.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get nervous. You're like, what if they don't like me back? Or like, what if we don't get along?
Yeah.
And honestly, it's just usually all in your head.
My grandpa said you should write down everything you're afraid of.
Before you film OnlyFans?
Yeah, my grandpa specifically said, he's like, before I film my OnlyFans.
Only grams.
Only grandpas. Before he not films at OnlyFans, God forbid. Well, you know, nursing homes, they do a lot of sex.
No, I know. My mom
He's not in a nursing home, but
she was a gynecologist, and she would always talk about how nursing homes have the highest rate of STDs because they don't get tested.
Yeah.
Because all of them can't get pregnant.
Right.
So in their mind, they're like, well, we can't get
it. There's nothing to worry about.
Because this is the straights, by the way. The gay ones still know to get tested.
The gays, we've been through the trenches with STDs.
And so they're in a nursing home, so with nothing to do, they just go back and forth.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Rocking in the rockers.
I would. You know? If I was in the halls of St. Michael's Christian living home, I'd be porking everybody. Anybody with a pulse. You know, you're like, the clock's ticking. Might as well try it all out.
Might as well get it out.
Yeah.
Before you're gone.
That's, I have found, we talked about this off audio, but how you have several older women fans that follow your OnlyFans. And
do you have several on your TikTok?
I have one my TikTok's not really like sexual. So I'm just a talent on there. but I do have one that I'm obsessed with, and she is so funny. And especially when I did my Things Only Gay People Understand, it was like, you know, I know. And I'm like, I do know, you know, of course you know. But I just think, women's sexuality is so repressed. And so there's a lot of freedom in older age to like, you're kind of like, well, fuck it. I'm going to watch whatever porn I want to watch. I love that. What freedom. Don't look at me like that.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Do you have any other things you're afraid of you want to share?
No.
Okay.
I don't really have that much fears. To be honest, I think fear is kind of pointless.
Well, yeah. Well, let's talk about that.
Like, I mean, you get afraid and, like, you hold yourself back from doing something, but, like, I've changed that in myself where I usually realize fear is a good sign. It usually means it's something that you want to do, so you should always go into it.
Yeah.
Like, outside of fear is, like, you know, there's a tiger in front of me, I should not pet it. That's different.
Right.
Than saying...
That's more of a natural instinct.
Yeah, but that's the problem with fear is that, like, our brains trick you into thinking it's instinct happening. So, like, say you're afraid to go talk to a guy, you experience fear, but that's not actually a fear. You're not actually afraid of talking to another human being. Your body has tricked yourself into thinking, like, oh, panic, animal instincts, fight or flight. When in reality, all you need to do is just go speak words to another human being.
Yeah,
and it's simple. And if the human being doesn't respond well, it probably is about them, not you.
Yeah. Well, I think our brain's trying to protect us from embarrassment and shame.
Well, so your body and brain is designed to do literally the bare minimum and the easiest. Because if you think about it, that's a survival instinct.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to, back in our caveman days, trying to use as little energy as possible because rest and eating are hard to find, and you're trying to do it the easiest way so that you just, you know, don't die. Well, that works for a caveman.
Yeah.
But for somebody in a modern society who's trying to do all the things, achieve all the things they want that are all not necessarily easy, your body is going to fight you on it the whole entire time.
Yeah.
And if you just remember that, it makes it a little bit understandable as you're processing.
Yeah, definitely. That was when I was really bad with my anxiety, when I was like explained what anxiety is and that it's like your fight or flight response kicking into high gear in times that doesn't need to. You know, you're not actually in imminent danger, but you've convinced yourself that you are. So you have this adrenaline kicking and you have nowhere to put it. When I understood the chemistry and the body behind it, I was like, oh, this isn't this scary thing that's so like hard to understand. Like, this is just my body acting in a way that it's programmed to act just at the wrong time. And that was very freeing for me to understand how it was working. But I know a lot of guys that are like, I mean, I can count on my finger the times that someone's come and like said hi to me at a bar, that like a stranger. Not very often. I only have five fingers here. I cut off the other half. And I don't know why. I've had people like send someone else to come talk to me. And it's like, I'm not going to bite.
Those are such weird moments. This is back when bars existed.
Yeah.
But when people do the whole, like, send a friend over, that is not cute.
No.
Because the thing is, we did that when we were, like, in our 20s.
Yeah.
Which, it's cute then, but, like...
Okay,
maybe it's... But, like, when you're a grown adult, I mean, it's not cute.
No, it just tells me... I mean, it tells me everything I need to know right then and there. Like, you're not going to have the...
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, the thing I always tell people is, confidence is the most attractive quality.
It's the most attractive.
Because nobody wants to be with somebody that's unconfident because they feel like they're going to have to take care of you.
Yeah.
People are drawn to light of somebody who feels like they're confident. So they're like, oh, well, I'll be able to have that too.
Mm-hmm. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy too. If you just pretend, if you literally just walk into that bar and you tell yourself, I own this bar and everybody here is so attracted to me and I have it all.
No. Don't walk into a bar with the attitude of I own this bar.
Well, don't be rude to the wait staff.
Yeah. That already sounds like a twink walking in and be like, I'm the hottest shit.
No.
You guys should be worthy that I'm here.
No, it's different. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely see what you're saying. But I'm just saying, like, in your head, if you can convince yourself that and you carry yourself in a kind way, don't be rude to the bar staff, please. I think that you're way better off than if you're kind of guessing, like, oh, what do people think of my outfit? What is blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, I agree.
That's how I mean, I still don't always feel, I don't always feel 100% confident. I feel like people are mean in West Hollywood.
I think people are just mean all over the world.
That's true. I think everyone's trying to puff up their feathers like a little peacock, you know, trying to look a little bigger than they are. Everyone's kind of playing a stalemate game. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's hard to put yourself out there. It is. But I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
No, we're talking about fear.
Do you want to talk about stage fright, pop stars?
No, you don't talk about stage fright.
Do you want to, whose music just came out? Did you just listen to Lana Del Rey's new song?
Did you watch the video for it?
I loved it.
I did too. Actually, what we wish to talk about is, did you see her apology video?
Okay, let's get into it. Let's get into it. I love Lana. I will defend her till the end of my life.
I love her.
I'd never vote for her.
But that apology video is on the same level as Shangela's apology video.
Shangela's, that was bad.
Yeah.
But make sure to buy the sanitizer.
I'm shocked there isn't like a Lanatizer.
I know.
You would buy it.
Okay, so if any of our viewers didn't know what happened, so Lana had, this is a long tale, but back in a couple months ago, she got some blowback because she put out this like manifesto-ish about how she didn't feel like she was, her voice in the music industry and in the world was well-respected. And that all these other women, and she named mostly women of color, were
including, she even named, I think, Ariana. Which
she did.
Ariana is...
She's a little white girl.
But Ariana at least tries to look like she's a woman of color.
And that's a whole other issue. The funny thing is when you look back to her Nickelodeon days and you're like, girl, you're white.
Palest thing alive.
So pale. Where did the tan come from? But it's okay. We love Ariana Grande. But so I think Lana's big mistake was naming names.
Yes. Because as soon as you do that, especially she named, like, I think Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
When you start Cardi naming, B. especially yeah. people of color, when your parents are saying, like, I've had it so hard. I'm a rich white girl.
Yeah.
Just struggling to let her music out.
Yeah, that wasn't a good look. But I still love Lana. So that, anyway, she got a lot of blowback for that. And in that manifesto that she posted, she also said, also, my album's coming out in March. Okay, great. Thanks, Lana. And then... the album cover for this album came out, and it's her at a table with women, with a bunch of other women.
Well, her friends.
Her friends.
Yes.
And they're all, and there's women of color, there's white women, there's lots of women. There's like 15, 16 people in that cover. But she had to make the point to comment and say, just so we're clear here, these are all my friends, and I didn't even pick them based on the color of their skin. These just... are my friends, and this is who I am, and it just was like, it was very pick me, it was like, look at how good I am.
Well, no, so that's actually not the issue that people got mad about, though.
Oh, okay. What did they get mad about?
Because so, like, on the cover, it has her friends. Mm-hmm. There's no black women.
Okay.
So people started commenting about that.
Right.
So she made the comment about like, these are like my friends. Like, mm-hmm. I don't do forced inclusivity because then that feels like fake.
Sure.
So you think like, okay, I kind of get that, Lana.
Yeah.
But then she just lost everyone when she goes and she says the whole, and just letting you know, I have always supported rappers and dated rappers.
Oh, that, I forgot about that. That was bad.
That's when you're like, I don't see color because I've dated a black guy.
Yeah.
Or I've recorded them, so I'm good.
Yeah, it was bad. I don't excuse the behavior, but here's what I loved about Lana, and what really made me a big fan, was her music was very trapped in time. It kind of existed on its own. It didn't follow trends in the music industry. She always created what she wanted to create and a story that she wanted to tell. And it never felt current. It felt timeless. And then recently she's really, I don't know if she felt extremely pressured to speak on current issues, because there was, you know, there was a lot of rumors like, is she secretly a Republican and all this kind of stuff. And so she felt she needed to speak on this, but she did not speak on it correctly.
Well, so that's the other thing. So then her apology video, though, wasn't for that, for the album cover. Her apology video was for, because she gave an interview about the Capitol riots, where she, in essence, kind of said, like, she didn't blame Trump, because she was like, she kind of explains that Trump, it doesn't have empathy. So it's not his fault that he didn't know how to say, don't do that.
Right.
Which I kind of get her explanation, where she's basically explaining, like, this person doesn't even understand.
Yeah.
But, like, again, she does it in a Lana way. We were like, Lana, it sounds like you're defending it.
Yeah.
So then her apology video, she goes on basically explaining, like,
I don't even know if you could call it an apology.
No, yeah, because she doesn't say I'm sorry. She basically explains, like,
an explanation.
You didn't understand, and you guys never understand me. And then, again, halfway through her video, she starts talking about, and you don't understand how hard I have done to, like, work for this career.
Yeah.
It's just...
And I get it. When you're in the trenches of the career, I'm sure she's worked extremely hard to have her career. But the comparison is where it gets ugly. And they're like, you need to respect me, because I think she was really looking at everything that's... Because this is how I view it as an artist, too, is you take these situations and you look at them from a bird's eye view, and you look at it as, like, as a chessboard, not necessarily I'm on the ground level. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, great. Right. I think that she relates to the world in a way that she doesn't look at what her part in it is or how she's being affected by it, but she looks at what caused the situation. She looks at things on a grander scale. She looks at the forest, not the trees. If that makes sense?
I it makes sense. I agree with you. But the problem that, like, has made me, and I'm a huge Lana fan, but like, I'm kind of not anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think she's self-aware anymore.
No.
Because I think she lives in Lana land, where all of her girls are like Lana ladies who support the Lanapocracy.
And no.
They all Lanatize off of her Lana money. Stop that she it. Lends
How are you
to
doing
them.
All these so quickly?
And I think she's not. She's lost the ability to be humble and self-aware.
Yeah.
Because I do, when people try and, like, rip on her and say that she's stupid in this, no, she is still intelligent. Even her points she's making, if you literally sit down and dissect them, you're like, okay, I actually do get what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
But somebody that is self-aware knows there are time and places for this.
Right.
Saying something like this right now, you should be self-aware to be like, Lana, people are not going to get it. Just don't say it.
Exactly.
And also, Lana, be well aware, you are a privileged, pretty white girl who's wealthy.
Who has a platform.
Like, and there are people that maybe won't understand your music or your art, but playing the whole victim thing, you just can't do it.
No. Like, no, no, no.
Because you don't look like a victim. Although, in her apology video, her bedroom, did you see it?
No.
You're like, she's Lana, who's wealthy beyond belief.
I mean, millions, yeah.
Her bedroom looked like most people I've known first.
Oh no.
Like
the right apartment. Out of college, yeah.
Yes. Like, her bed is completely unmade. The bed, it looks like it's like, but then this also makes sense because it's Lana.
Yeah.
So I feel like even rich Lana likes to dress up and pretend she's poor.
Well, her phone was cracked for the longest time. Do you remember the TMZ photos? And no. she was holding her screen was super cracked.
So that's a thing that also slightly irks me about Lana.
Yeah.
She does like to pretend that she's like, I'm so poor.
Do you think, I've never met her. I've only seen the persona. Mm-hmm. I've seen her in concert a couple times. Do you think that, but just for the fun of analyzing, do you think that she doesn't see herself as this superstar?
I don't think she sees herself as a superstar, but I do think she sees herself as too much of a star.
Okay.
Because, like, the way she talks about, like, in, like, her first apology, where she really talks about, like, my music's here to like change the world. I'm sorry, Lana.
That's true. Your music, she did say that.
Your music is here to make bottoms feel pretty as they twirl around in a room pretending they're smoking a cigarette.
Oh my god, Teddy Bear is a confirmed top. Or, well, he did say he was a Lana fan, so who knows?
I'm a verse top who's true to what Lana is.
A verse top who needs a night with Lana and a bottle of red wine sometimes.
Yes.
Well, that's fair. Like, I mean, yeah, it wasn't the best look.
I honestly, how you've described Lana is what I miss the most. I liked before when she wasn't as, and I hate saying this, I hate saying I liked before when she wasn't as vocal, because that sounds very like, sing, don't speak.
Yeah.
But like, I liked it because what you said, she felt like this timeless era where even back then you didn't know like what the singer or musician thought or anything. So you're kind of like, I have no idea like what time they are, like who is the Lana person? Who is she? It was this like, this star.
Yeah.
And now that you've kind of gotten to know her, it's just kind of...
We know too much.
Yeah.
I think her allure, her mystery and allure was always very...
Yeah.
What gave her such star power. And knowing... Yeah, I think you can know too much. But it's hard in the age of social media.
Meanwhile, we have a podcast where we tell you guys too much about us.
Way too much about us. Now, you know, my boyfriend's afraid of mascots.
Yeah.
I think in this, a question I have for you, do you think it's, as someone with a platform, because we were kind of asked this when we recently guested on a podcast and I kind of skirted around the answer because I don't think that my vision was necessarily welcomed. Do you think it's the responsibility of someone with a platform to speak on current issues?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. So like, I know me personally, before I even was Teddy Bear, I was very vocal and very active in mm-hmm. politics. Like, that's just always been me since I was young.
Yeah.
So whenever I even transitioned to Teddy Bear, I've been vocal about it because it also is just me. It's
my yeah.
first, it's who I am.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like when you say everybody has to, I don't think it's everybody, because for some people, they're just, it's just not a part of them.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think you should ever be silent
mm-hmm.
because silence says a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't think every single person has to, I don't know. Actually, I go back and forth on it.
For me, I feel like it's, I don't think it's your responsibility if you have a platform to speak on issues, but I think you are able to use your platform the way that you see fit.
Yes, that's a better way. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I think there's been a lot of situations where, for me, I've struggled because I don't feel like I know enough about the situation, or I don't have an opinion that really adds to the conversation. So I would rather listen in that moment. And I would rather read. I'd rather spend my time reading and learning and listening than speaking, because I don't feel like I have a perspective that adds to what's going on.
And I know that's true of you because I know you personally.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is what you just said is what a lot of people will say as their cop out.
Yeah.
Because they'll say like, well, I don't know enough about it, so I feel like I shouldn't speak about it. But then they usually follow, but what they actually do is basically, they just don't want to educate themselves.
Yeah.
You, I know, are different.
Yeah.
If you don't know about it, you won't speak about it until you do know about it, but you're spending time getting to know.
Yeah,
it.
I like to have a complete, concise vision and answer, and I like to understand, I hate to say, understand both sides. Not to say that both sides are right. You know, sometimes one side is completely right and the other one's totally wrong, but I like to understand why and where it comes from and all those things before I make an educated answer on it. And by that time, it's old news.
That's funny.
So I don't know. For me, I'm an entertainer. I make stupid videos on TikTok. I don't always feel like my voice adds to the conversation. But when I do feel passionate about something, I do speak on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I feel. But also there's new problems every day.
So how do you feel about Azealia Banks?
Well, she's a mess.
But how do you feel about what she just did to her cat?
I honestly, I was on Twitter. I saw something about it. And I said, I don't think I can handle diving in deep to this. I said, I think I've got to exclude myself from whatever this is, because I don't think emotionally I can handle okay, whatever so I'm about we'll to
catch
read.
Up our listeners. If you don't know, Azealia Banks went on Instagram Live and she dug up her old cat that had died and decided to cook its head.
So like from her backyard?
Mm-hmm.
And did she eat it?
I mean, I didn't want to delve into that.
Yeah.
I
That's fair.
This has reminiscent, it very reminds me of that Netflix serial killer documentary,
yeah.
Don't Fuck With Cats.
Uh-huh. I never saw it, but
okay.
Apparently it's
yeah.
right on par. She's living it.
Yeah.
And how did you feel about it?
I mean, I don't think I really want to cook my kitty.
Do you think she's just doing it for attention?
So, all right, people will say, like, because she has been public about her mental, like, health and mm-hmm. issues. But then I also, the thing is with her, I also don't know if it is just for attention.
Yeah.
Because people always say, like, oh, like, well, she has a mental health issue. But I'm like, I know a lot of people who also are severely bipolar.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's something of her that you're just like, I don't think this is a manic episode.
Yeah.
I think this is you thinking how, oh, this is going to make people talk.
Yeah. Well, that's what I worried about with Lana, too, was that she was bringing all this stuff up at a very interesting time.
You're right.
And that kind of upset me.
All this controversial stuff is also making every single person think about Lana.
And talk about Lana.
Right when her album's coming out. And that, to be honest, it could have just been forgotten about.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're right.
So that kind of worried me about her. Because I was like, are we...
A little shady.
Yeah. I was like, is this why you're doing all this? And you're making these like very public blunders because your album's coming out and this is your marketing strategy for it?
You know what's crazy now that you said that? Because to be honest, I had heard snippets of the new single.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't listened to it.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, honestly, her music has gone so stripped that I'm like...
It is, yeah.
I'm not really... I honestly wasn't interested.
Mm-hmm.
This controversy happened.
Yeah.
And I went to finally go listen.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked.
Yeah.
And also, I love the new single.
It's so good. I can't stop listening to it.
Look at it. It worked. If this was a marketing thing, I'm like, I'm not a Lana fan anymore. I can't stand her. Like, I'm not on her side. I played her song like 8 times yesterday.
To bring it all back, the biggest fear of anyone in the public eye is obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There's like a really good quote about that. So,
yeah.
That's the quote. there's like a famous celebrity somewhere that said something about that. So that's the quote.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, that's what I hate to bring it back to this because I don't.
Are you going to say Taylor?
No, it's very hypocritical for me to like say this while also speaking on this. But the whole like Trump in the news cycle, I know his biggest fear is obscurity.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll do whatever for his name to be trending number one, to be in the news. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. Doesn't matter how horribly far he has to go. As long as he's trending number one, that's the goal. As long as everyone's talking about him, that's the goal.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to look away. It's like a train wreck, you know?
It's the Trump train.
If you just deleted the account like Twitter did, that's the biggest fear is the obscurity.
Yeah.
It's not that people are going to hate him. It's not that... Maybe it is that he's going to go to jail or whatever, but I don't want to get into all of that. But I think for a lot of people in the public eye, once you have a taste of that attention, because a lot of people want to be famous.
So are you saying that the smartest thing for you to do for your TikTok is to do something really very offensive so the whole world hates you?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do that, but I think a lot of people go there
So actually, you're right. So think about like... You know what fascinates me is Tomi Lahren.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at her history,
yeah,
when she started out as trying to be on, she was on some web series or something, and she was a liberal.
Yeah.
Just talking about things, but like her career really wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
And then she literally had a switch and did exactly what you said and said things that made people enraged.
Yeah.
And she, every single person on this planet pretty much now, knows her name.
Exactly.
Had she just been a regular, sometimes liberal, but sort of in the middle girl, she would have been forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad to think that, like, she sat there and thought, okay, I'm going to become a monster because everybody knows Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Like.
Exactly.
Oh, think about this. Everybody knows Frankenstein. That's not even the real name.
That's not even the name.
That's a doctor.
Yeah. But nobody knows the doctor.
No.
It's true. Wow. We just really, that was a good metaphor. No, it's totally true. I have a background in social media. And when you're looking at theories of social media, people share content that gives them active emotions is what they say. So
like I share things that give you a boner.
Yeah, no, but honestly.
Really?
But that maybe arouse you in that way. Make you laugh. that's another, it's a, laughter's not really an emotion, but like that, you know,
joy,
awe, anger, those are all active emotions and those make people share. So you kind of choose as someone that makes content, which avenue you're going to go. And this is, oh, I'm going to really slam it home and I'm so sorry. If you don't have talent in a way that makes people laugh, in a way that makes people awe-inspired, in a way that makes people aroused, anger is a really easy route to go.
Damn, you just explained every Fox newscaster.
There you go.
No, I'm actually, that's, yeah. Sorry, I'm like pausing right now.
Just no. Like, that's really, that explains, I didn't intend to be so profound today, but.
That explains a lot of people that are also just well-known and like keep getting headlines and everything is because they're ones that make everybody angry.
Yeah, that's the theory behind it. If you can make people, if you do something that's so outrageous that makes people so angry, you're trending number one.
So, you know, it's also crazy to bring it back even further mm-hmm. and to the topic of fear.
Stop it. And you're not going to do this to me.
And to the topic of animal instinct,
mm-hmm.
our brains are naturally programmed to enjoy the negative
mm-hmm.
and anger more than anything else.
Yeah.
Because that's also a survival technique of literally fight or flight.
Yeah.
So when somebody brings in that animal instinct to us, our body responds to it actually positively because
mm-hmm.
we want it.
Yeah.
So that's why we want terrible news. And then who gives you terrible news? A terrible person.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you love? As much as you say you hate them, when people are obsessed with hating somebody, that's somebody that they talk about all the time.
Yeah.
That they always look up online, that they always want to know right away.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, that's why people aren't talking. There weren't, I mean, also the pandemic, but there weren't mega Biden rallies and all this kind of stuff.
Well, this is also why, like, I always talked about it. And Kelly Clarkson mm-hmm. is a perfect example of somebody who, because since she doesn't have beefs.
Yeah.
Everyone who works for her is like, she's adorable to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just not, she's considered not as relevant.
Yeah.
Because she's a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Had she decided to be like, had Kelly Clarkson been like, Carrie Underwood's a cunt, oh my god, it'd be huge.
Like, yeah, if she started a feud,
they hate each other.
Yeah, the feuds are huge. People love the feud. They love to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And it's I think Taylor Swift has been really smart about her positioning, because I feel like it's always been true to her. I mean, she kind of stumbled. I don't think she necessarily intended to have the big beef with Kanye, but I think she used it in a way that really worked to her favor and worked to her image.
I mean, she also used Katie's feud in her favor, so don't give her too much credit.
No, she did. You're right. She did. The bad blood.
She milked a whole entire song and like made her stans hate Katie.
Which, that song did so well, and it was one of the least, in my opinion, good. I think 1989 had a lot more to offer than that song.
That song did well because of feuds. Because everybody's like, this lyric's about her. This lyric's about her.
They love the drama.
The lyrics aren't even good in that song.
You know Trisha Paytas? She's a big influencer.
No.
She's on TikTok. She does the same thing. She jumps in a feud wherever she can. The whole Charli D'Amelio situation. She made herself relevant in that situation. And now she has 4 million followers on TikTok. She probably got like 2 million followers from just that.
God damn it.
It's crazy.
So who should I get into a fight with on TikTok?
I don't know.
should we get into a feud?
I think we should get into a feud. Should we start right now?
Like a fake feud just to grow our followers?
Mm-hmm. Listen to the, we love doing this podcast together, but now we hate each other.
Bear with us. I can't bear with you.
Well, there you go. I think that's about all the profoundness I have in me today.
I'm out of all the fear I have left.
Yeah, you're cured. There you go. Don't invest in therapy. Just start a podcast. Well, thank you so much for listening to everyone today. My name's Scott Frenzel.
And I'm Teddy Bear.
And this was Bear With Us, girl. We'll see you next Thursday. Bear.